Good morning and welcome to the Florida League of Cities legislative call-in. Thank you for joining us. For those that are new to the call-in, I hope there aren't many, seeing as how we're in week six, but we start the call with each of the lobbyists going around the horn, and they talk about the key bills they're watching and working on and where we need your help on the advocacy front. Once the lobbyists have shared their updates, we'll open the call for questions. If you'd like to ask a question, at that time, you'll press star 9 on your phone. As a reminder, this call is being recorded. We'll send out a detailed written summary as well as a link to the call's recording later this afternoon. Please note it's not possible to cover every single bill that we're watching as there are over 2,000 bills filed. We're watching currently over 500. This is a 30-minute phone call, so we can't cover them all, but good news for you, there's a comprehensive bill list on our website, flcities.com. Hover your mouse over the advocacy tab. Halfway down is bill summaries, and you can see that entire universe of what we're following and what we're working on. It's week six, as I mentioned earlier. Things are busy in Tallahassee. This is the last week of policy subcommittees in the House. Budget is taking center stage for the next couple weeks, and so we anticipate lots of time spent on subcommittee budgets, the beginning of negotiations on specific budget items, but at the same time, it's a mad dash on the policy front where folks are trying to get their bills out of committees that stop meeting this week so that they can keep them alive and hopefully pass them by the end of session. So with that as the introduction, I'm going to kick it to Charles Chapman for your finance and tax update.
Well, good morning, everybody. And at the risk of sounding like a broken record for the last 2 to 3 weeks, we are still watching to see how the agendas are going to develop for the finance and tax bills that we're watching this week. The first committee that we're watching very closely is the House Intergovernmental Affairs Subcommittee that meets on Wednesday, April 9th. We will know that agenda later today by 5 p.m. Of note for this committee is House Bill 1221. That is 1221 by Representative Miller. This bill addresses local option sales taxes. So in brief, that would be your tourism development tax, your local discretionary infrastructure taxes, and the like. What the bill does is it mandates that the local option taxes be placed on a referendum for affirmation or consideration by the voters every 8 years. What's problematic here is several examples, such as tourism development funding for convention and visitors bureaus, as well as your infrastructure taxes for projects that are typically bonded for longer periods than 8 years at a time. Generally, a bond is anywhere between 20 to 30 years. We are opposed to that bill, and we may need your help in helping to tell the story about why these funds are important, and 8 years is just not long enough. And like kind, the Senate bill, 1664, addressing local option taxes by Senator Trumbull, is in the second committee that we're watching this week, and that is Senate Finance and Tax, and they meet on Thursday, April 10th. So we would appreciate you to stick close by your devices. We would be sending you a note to take action and to call your representatives and senators about those bills. Those of you that have been keeping box scores over the last 2 weeks, you probably have heard about the long-term lease homestead exemption extension benefits bill. And another way to say that is that if you have a rental property and you are a resident of the state of Florida that currently has a homestead, if this joint resolution were to pass the voters in 2026, you could apply for to receive a benefit similar to your homestead exemption on your investment property. The House Bill 1257 and Implementing Bill 1259 has been moving. It's slated to go to its third committee of reference, but the good news there is it's not up this week. However, we are watching the Senate Finance and Tax Committee for the Senate companions. That's Senate Bill 1510 and Senate Bill 1512 by Senator Avila. because it may appear on the Finance and Tax Committee agenda again on Thursday this week. Last but not least is we are very curious to see what the Senate's proposed tax package might be for the year. The House has revealed their hand with the sales tax reductions at 0.75 basis points on the sales tax. So we're waiting to see what the Senate's response is going to be to that. So stay tuned. We'll have more information as these agendas post later today. And with that, I'll kick it back over to David Cruz.
Thank you, Charles, and good morning, everybody. I have three bills to discuss this morning with the group. First up is sovereign immunity. Sovereign immunity bill is scheduled to be heard on Tuesday morning in the House Judiciary Committee. This is House Bill 301 by Representative McFarland. This is a bill that's being pushed by the trial bar that government entities are opposing. An amendment was filed yesterday to the bill by the sponsor of the bill, and the amendment does the following. As currently drafted, the original bill increased the sovereign immunity limits in the state to 1 million and 3 million, respectively. This amendment is seeking to decrease that in half. So by October 1 of this year, the caps of sovereign immunity in the state would go to $500,000 per person, $1 million per incident. After 5 years, on October 1 of 2030, those caps would increase slightly to $600,000 per person and $1.1 million per incident. The League of Cities is opposed to these increases as we feel that they are not reasonable. Very important are two other provisions in this bill that the amendment does not change that are just as bad as these increases to the caps. The first of those is that it would allow subdivisions of the state to settle above claims limits with a claims bill. We strongly feel that the claims bill process brings a lot of value in examining these claims. The special master that oversees these has the ability to recommend lowering settlements and takes into account all factors that juries cannot. And so there's a lot of value in that claims bill process, and circumventing that process is a disservice to our taxpayers. Second provision that's still in the bill, even with these amendments, is that it would not allow an insurance company to require a claims bill to pass in order to approve the payout of a claim. We suspect that that would drastically increase insurance costs for all cities that are purchasing insurance, and so we are also opposed to that provision. I would encourage all members to reach out to the members of the House Judiciary Committee and express our opposition. After this call, please expect to receive an alert lining these concerns, and encourage you again to reach out to the members of the House Judiciary Committee to express our concerns in opposition to House Bill 301. Second bill I wanted to discuss this morning is House Bill 569 by Representative Kendall. It's going to be heard in the House State Affairs Committee on Tuesday. This is a bill dealing with private schools and charter schools, and it has two preemptions in it that we are opposed to. The first preemption is that it would prohibit a city or a county from adopting any type of ordinance that would limit the amount of students that could enroll at a private school or a public school by limiting the amount of cars that line up in the mornings and the afternoons when they're picking up and dropping off students. These are called vehicle stacking ordinances. These are specifically preempted in the bill. If the effect of that ordinance is to limit the amount of students that could be at that private school or charter school. The second part of the bill deals with charter schools exclusively, and it says that if a charter school converts an existing facility, such as a church or a movie theater, into a charter school, they would no longer have to get a special exemption from the local government entity or a conditional use approval. So we are opposed to House Bill 569 in the House State Affairs Committee. Last bill I wanted to talk about this morning is one that we actually support. It is Senate Bill 582 by Senator Leak. This bill will be heard on the special order calendar on Wednesday in the Senate floor. And so this is a bill that we support. It's a good bill that would essentially increase the penalties for anybody that destroys a historical building that's on the National Registry for Historic Places. We feel it's a needed bill to protect Florida's heritage And so that's Senate Bill 582. Again, will be on the Senate floor on Wednesday. And with that, I will turn it over to Matt Singer.
Well, thank you, David, and good morning, everyone. The first bill I want to put on your radar will be heard in the House Commerce Committee today at 3 p.m. and is House Bill 703 on utility relocation. This bill has to do with the relocation of telecommunication facilities when they're in the public right-of-way, and specifically shifts costs from the private sector onto the public sector when the municipality initiates the road project. Now, historically, the arguments that the other side have been making are that communication services taxes are intended to be used for utility relocation. But historically, we know this is not the case. Prior to the implementation of CST in 2001, cities would issue fees and permits to cover the costs to maintain and operate the right-of-ways. Now, when CST was implemented, it removed the municipal ability to levy these fees and permits, and instead, these costs and revenue collected from communication services taxes were intended to replace these and cover the cost to maintain the right-of-way and not to relocate utilities when they're interfering with a road project. And so this bill would shift these costs from the private sector onto our municipalities. And our argument here is that this isn't what it's intended for, and this is also an unfair cost shift. While this is an unfunded mandate, our municipalities pay sales taxes and our residents pay property taxes and gas taxes, and these are supposed to go to transportation infrastructure as well. And we think that this unfair cost shift is an unfunded mandate, and the League is opposed to this. This bill will be heard this afternoon at 3 p.m., and our ask of you is to reach out to your members on the House Commerce Committee to let them know what the impact would be on your city and how this is unfair and how you already work to proactively work with utility providers to relocate these types of facilities that may be obstructing. The Senate bill has one more stop and will be heard in the Senate Rules Committee, but is not on the agenda this week. And so the time is now to make sure that your legislators are aware of the impact it would have on your community. And again, that's House Bill 703 that will be heard this afternoon in the House Commerce Committee. Switching gears to the other side of the legislature, on the Senate side, we have one bill up on the Senate floor I want to put on your radar on Wednesday. And this is Senate Bill 810, has to do with stormwater management systems. You may remember this bill as it was heard last week in its final stop in the Senate. And the League opposed this bill in committee and tried to outline the main costs that this would bring on your municipality. This bill would mandate the annual inspection of your entire stormwater system and have you identify facilities or parts of the stormwater system that may be vulnerable or would fail if obstructed. Now, this bill is wide-reaching and unfortunately would mandate the inspection of every inch of your stormwater system. And so we know that this is a very high cost to be able to run the technology, to be able to conduct this type of inspection. And it's also an unfunded mandate here too. And by the way, your staff are already doing these inspections. They're mandated now to perform these inspections on a regular basis and are permitted by either the state or the federal government. Like I said, this bill will be heard on the Senate floor on Wednesday. And so if you haven't already communicated these costs to your legislators, we're going to be sending a legislative alert outlining the main questions you want to ask your staff in order to convey the impact. These questions are, what's the size of our stormwater system, and how frequently are we inspecting now? And that will help you develop the fiscal impact on how much this would cost your city and allow you to personalize that message when you reach out to your senator and let them know that the League is opposed and the bad situation this would create back home. And those are the two bills I have for you this morning. And with that, I'll pass it to Rebecca O'Hara.
Thank you, Matt. Good morning, everybody. Today, I'm going to talk about affordable housing and building permits. We've got a couple of bills that are on committee agendas and a few that we are anticipating to be on agendas. First up, Senate Bill 1730 by Senator Kalatayu relating to affordable housing will be heard in the Senate Rules Committee tomorrow. The committee meeting starts at 9 a.m. This is the bill that amends the Live Local Act. This bill is far better than the House companion. Just to give you a little bit of a preview of what the Senate bill does, it does allow for Live Local Act projects to be located in any flexibly zoned area, including planned unit developments. However, it does exclude recreational facilities, golf courses, swimming pools, open spaces from areas that could be built on. It does prohibit local governments from requiring a density transfer as a condition of approval of a Live Local Act project. It allows for people that bring an action to enforce the Live Local Act against the local government to recover attorney's fees if they prevail. However, if the local government prevails, the local government would get attorney's fees as well. It also prohibits the local government from requiring more than 10% of a Live Local Act project to be non-residential. It provides definitions for mixed use, commercial, and industrial use, but importantly, it excludes home-based businesses from that definition, and it also excludes home-based businesses from the definition. It also addresses building moratoria, and it puts some limits on the types of building moratoria that a local government could adopt or impose. Specifically, it's the Senate and the House don't want local governments adopting moratoria to prevent Live Local Act projects from being built. However, the Senate bill does provide for an exception if the moratorium is enacted for 90 days or less, and it is accompanied by a housing needs analysis and a business impact statement. And then excluded from this provision altogether are moratoria that are adopted to address flooding and stormwater management issues, as well as the lack of water, sewer, or the need to repair sanitary sewer. So that is Senate Bill 1730, and that is in rules tomorrow, 9 a.m. We expect the House Housing Bill by Representative Lopez, which is House Bill 743, to be on the agenda Wednesday in the House Intergovernmental Affairs Committee. In sharp contrast to the Senate bill, the House bill greatly expands the Live Local Act. It will include property owned by a religious institution within the scope of the Live Local Act. It will allow the expansion of Live Local Act projects onto adjacent parcels next to any commercial or industrial area. It completely eliminates any rules for developing in urban infill areas. It also has provisions requiring local governments to allow accessory dwelling units with very little limitations on how those dwelling units might be built. That's just a small, short description of some of the things that are in the House bill that we oppose. That's 743. We're looking for it to be on the agenda for the House Intergovernmental Affairs Committee. We are also on the lookout for amendments that will be filed. I'm aware of about 20 changes to that bill that are pending. We haven't seen what those changes are. I do not expect the bill to be improved much to be such that we could support it. Then, while we're still on the subject of housing, moving on to accessory dwelling units, Senate Bill 184 by Senator Gates relating to accessory dwelling units is on the Senate special order calendar. This is the accessory dwelling unit bill that requires local governments to have an ADU ordinance. It allows the local government to regulate the permitting, construction, or use of an accessory dwelling unit. However, it prohibits the local government from prohibiting any rental of the unit, and also prohibits the local government from increasing parking requirements on the ADU. That is another bill that I expect we'll see an amendment on, an amendment that will make it better, hopefully. But since the amendment hasn't been filed yet, I can't confirm that. So keep an eye out on that one. As it stands right now, we are opposed to it. Lastly, in the Senate Rules Committee tomorrow, Senate Bill 784 by Senator Ingolia relating to platting. This is a bill that would require administrative approval of any plat or replat by a city or a county, and would also require the local government to take action on the plat or replat application within 30 days after the application was filed. We oppose that bill as well. That's Senate Bill 784. It's going to be up in rules tomorrow at 9 a.m. And that's all I have for you this morning. Next, you'll hear from Sam Wagner.
Thank you, Rebecca. All right, everybody. So I got one bill for you today, Senate Bill 954 and House Bill 1163. This is titled Recovery Residences by Senator Gruters and Representative Owen. We are opposed to these bills. They designate that the certified recovery residences are non-transient residential use for zoning purposes. They prevent local regulations from restricting their presence in multifamily structures. It mandates that cities and counties must allow these residences in multifamily residential districts without requiring zoning changes, special exemptions, or any other land use approvals. Both the Senate and House bills may be heard this week. We will see if they pop out on the agendas this afternoon. Our ask is simple. We ask that you reach out to the members of the Senate Health and Human Services Appropriations Committee and the members of the House Intergovernmental Affairs Subcommittee and let them know how this bill will impact your local areas. And with that, I'll kick it back to Mr. Casey Cook.
Thank you, Sam. All right, it's time to transition into the question and answer portion of the call. If you'd like to ask your question, you'll press star 9. And then when recognized, please state your name and the city you're affiliated with. All right, first question.
Good morning, Dan Jensen, Mayor Pro Tem for Jacksonville Beach. My question is for David Cruz. In reference to sovereign immunity, is there a companion bill on the Senate side, and what's the status of it, if there is?
Good morning, and that's a fantastic question. The Senate bill, yes, there is a companion bill. It's been filed by Senator DeSigley. That bill is still in its first committee of reference, the Senate Judiciary Committee that's chaired by Clay Yarbrough. Senator Yarbrough has not heard that bill, and he's not scheduled to have any more committee meetings this session. And so effectively, that bill is dead or in very much trouble on the Senate side. However, there have been rumors that because a lot of Senate bills have not been heard this session, there is the possibility of House bills passing the House and then getting referred to the Senate Rules Committee, which is scheduled to meet almost till the very end of session. And so I would say the prognosis of the Senate bill is not good, but there is still an avenue available for this bill to be in play at the end of session.
Thank you, Vice Mayor.
Thank you.
All right, next question.
I have two questions.
Could you repeat your name, please?
Dr. Johnson, Village of Palm Springs.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Okay, two questions. First one is the House Bill 703. I want to make sure that I heard correctly about the relocation of telecommunication lines. That's only applicable if the municipality is starting that project. Is that correct?
Good morning. Yes, that is the case. This has to do with when we initiate a project on one of our roads. This would also place the burden on the county doing it on a county project or the State Department of Transportation on one of their roads as well. And so the way the bill says is if the authority, meaning us, initiates a project, the authority will bear the costs.
Okay. I didn't catch who sponsored that bill.
Yes, sir. Thank you. I left that out. That is Representative Will Robinson on the House side. And on the Senate side, it's sponsored by Senator Stan McClain.
Okay, thank you. My last question is, any updates on the sewer lateral bills that were out there?
Yes. If you're talking about House Bill 1187 and Senate Bill 1208, that would have mandated we inspect these on a 7-year window. The Senate bill has only moved through that first stop, and the House bill has not been heard at all in any of its 4 stops. So it's not dead yet, but it's on life support. We can say that.
Okay, thank you so much.
Good question. All right, next question.
Hi, this is Sherry Simmons from City of DeBary. Rebecca, first, thank you all. We hate 1730. It's really bad, but thanks. I see golf courses, the exclusion of golf courses and home-based businesses are in there. However, Senator Cataloud filed an amendment this morning, which also allows for the expansion to an adjacent property of land within multifamily. So I'm not sure. It was filed at 8:43 this morning. So that, again, brings it back to a really bad bill. So I just wanted to let you all know.
Thank you for pointing that out, and I'm glad you asked the question. That amendment actually is helpful to us for the following reasons. Number one, take a look at the language on moratoria. That is language that we specifically requested. It will allow us to adopt a moratoria. We just can't enforce it as against the Live Local Act project. That's an important distinction because it is definitely limiting our potential liability as it relates to the former language. It also allows us to have a moratorium regardless of whether it affects the Live Local Act project. If we do not have water, if we do not have sanitary sewer, or we have flooding or stormwater management issues, and the moratorium is imposed for those reasons. With respect to the language about adjacent parcels that you mentioned, there's a really important distinction in that Senate Bill 1730 amendment and what you see in the House bill. The House bill would require a local government to approve Live Local Act projects on an adjacent parcel of land. The Senate bill leaves it at the option of the local government. Okay. So importantly, yep, the Senate bill preserves your choice. Thank you.
Okay. Yep, I see it. I just read it briefly, so thank you.
Good question. Thank you.
And we appreciate you for reading the amendments because, you know, we are all in this together, and with so many bills moving and so much policy out there and substantial amendments to most bills, we need as many eyeballs as we can get. So we appreciate you for staying tuned in on that Live Local bill. All right, next question.
Casey, this is William Whitson from Orange Park. I have one question for David Cruz and one for Matt Singer. On House Bill 569, is there a Senate companion? Is that, if it does pass, is it dead or is it, do we need to keep focused on that?
Hey, good morning. Great question. The Senate companion bill, I believe, is 1180 by Senator McClain, and that bill is very much in play. These bills each, I think, have about one committee left to go until they reach the House and Senate floor, respectively. So I would say if you're concerned about, private school and charter school zoning issues and the vehicle stacking ordinance issue, I would certainly say that these bills are in play and certainly reach out to the members of the House State Affairs Committee where the House bill would be heard on Tuesday.
Okay, thank you. And for Matt, on the Senate Bill 810, what was Senator Bradley's conversation? I believe that moved through a committee that she was on.
Yes, good morning. Senate Bill 810 moved through the Senate Fiscal Policy Committee. I think Senator Bradley was out of her seat for the first half of the bill, but she certainly heard the end and the discussion on the cost impacts. That bill will move to the Senate floor, and we are expecting, potentially forthcoming amendments on this one, too.
Okay, we'll be following
the other thing I would say on. Yep, the other thing I would say on 810, if I'm tracking on the same bill, is that this is the Burgess bill that does not have a House companion. So if you're Danny Burgess, you know, there are really two options. You hope that the House takes up your bill and refers it to a committee. Don't know if that's going to happen, but he's also probably looking around for other potential vehicles out there that he could slap this language to. So part of our efforts are making sure that senators are well aware of the fiscal impacts on cities if this stormwater proposal passes. And we want to make sure that they have good information so they can make an informed decision if they see that as an amendment to another bill moving through a process, something like, you know, the natural emergencies bill. So that's why we're asking for this information and why it's important for you to get that information to your senator so that they can know the full impacts of this legislation if should it show up as an amendment somewhere. Good question, William. All right,
Thanks, sir. Appreciate it. Next question.
Good morning, Florida League of Cities and all of the great components of it. I would like to say my name is Michael C. Blake, the mayor of the city of Cocoa and your friendly president for the FLC. I have two questions, well, one question and one statement. I want to say thank you to everyone participating and actively engaging in today's call-in. I thank you for your participation. And 2 weeks ago, we had over an outstanding participation of individuals there and 125 first-time attendees at Legislative Day. And I just want to compliment all elected officials and FLC staff. Now, here's my question. So kudos to the staff and their esteemed leadership. House Bill 700 pertaining to local governments from adding fluoride to public water supplies. What is the current status of House Bill 700?
Good morning, Mr. President. That bill will be heard in its final committee stop on the Senate side tomorrow. That's Senate Fiscal Policy at 2 p.m.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much. And again, I want to say thank you to everyone for participating in today's call-in, the staff, and thank you for sharing your story with our state legislatures and being educated by this great staff, FLC staff. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. President. And again, thank you for your leadership. You know, we are as engaged as I've ever seen, and it's through that engagement that we'll make a difference on some of these bills we're talking about. All right, next question.
Hello, this is Nick Colonna, City of Pinellas Park, Community Development Administrator. I have a question on the Affordable Housing Bill, the Live Local Bill. It was mentioned, and I believe I see it in the draft, that the PUDs are not exempt from the affordable housing component. The question I have on the PUDs, depending on the jurisdiction, some are actually overlays. So in Pinellas Park, it's an overlay, not a zoning district. Would that apply there? Or is that something we need to sort through? I think it's an important question of, if it does pass, how we move forward. Thank you.
Thank you for the question. I would ask that you have your city attorney look at both the House bill and the Senate bill and how they handle that language and give you an opinion as to how it would apply specifically to how your city handles PUDs.
Sounds good enough. And thank you all for the hard work.
Yes, sir. Thank you. All right, last call for questions. All right, so as I mentioned earlier, we are entering really the fast-paced portion of session. And right now, as conversations are happening on budget, you know, we're entering horse trading season. And so this is potentially when policy priorities get traded for money in the budget. And so be on the lookout. Stay close to your devices. If you see an alert, please pull the information. Please contact your members. That's how we can be effective at the Capitol, ensure an outcome that we're all looking for. So thank you all for joining us today. We will see you next week, same time, same place. Thank you for all you do. Have a good week.